But starting with the fact that God had forgiven me, and that was the real standard for forgiveness to play out in our relationship, that liberated me to be able to release him from paying me back what was taken from me. Because I started to see that the reality is that those that hurt us, those that wound us, they can't pay us back. Only God can give us back and restore the things that were broken and damaged and lost.
Hi, and welcome to Savage Marriage. This is Phil.
And this is Priscilla. We're sharing how God helped us overcome our past and fight for our future.
And what He did in our marriage, He can do in yours too.
This is Savage Marriage.
Today we have part two of Ray and Jane's story. So if you didn't listen to part one, we really encourage you to go back and listen to it.
It's an amazing God-honoring story. I love the way Ray and Jane tell it with such transparency and how they share what God did in the deepest parts of their heart to lead them toward Him and to each other.
So here's part two of Ray and Jane's story, and Priscilla and I will come back at the end with just a few comments. So you've just finished this very dramatic confession to your parents, Jane. And now you got to figure out that where do we go from here? What are we going to do? What was one of the first things you started thinking about and considering? What does this new dance look like?
I think one of the things that I started understanding, it was the whole concept of being battle partners. For many years, I've lived my life alone, even though I had been married for 15 years by that time. I never thought I needed Jane for anything. I was the man, and I just figure I'll do things by myself. But when I started understanding that I needed Jane to be part of my life, when I needed Jane to be able to battle those areas in my life, it made a big difference.
It was the same thing for me, understanding how do we work together? How do we get on the same page? How do we start developing what it's like to be one in our marriage and be able to step in, you know, in areas where either one of us are struggling. I mean, if God allowed us to be a marriage, be a unit, and we are both living in our own separate little islands, I mean, how are we going to connect? So we started to understand this whole idea of being a battle partner, of being able to step into each other's battle.
But Jane, in your background, you had always been kind of the submissive wife, the one in the marriage here. I mean, what had to change in order for you to be this battle partner for Ray?
Well, the first thing that needed to change is knowing that I even had a say in how our marriage was going to play it out. My mom was a very meek person, very quiet in that sense. And my father pretty much run the marriage without much input from my mom. So that's what I had modeled to me. I didn't think I have much of a voice, and different things that had happened in my life kind of confirmed that what I had to say didn't really matter. I didn't have much of a voice in how things played out in my relationship. So I went with that. And so now understanding that that's not God's kind of way for us to interact with one another, I needed to regain what a voice was like, or what was my take, or how my input was necessary in our relationship. I honestly started to understand that I was robbing Ray from having an input that will help him make even wiser decisions.
So, Ray, this is different for you, though, right? Because you were Mr. Macho Man.
I think it was a time of adjustment for me. Again, for years, it allowed me to do what I wanted to do because her voice didn't matter. Her opinion didn't matter. I never asked Jane. I never consulted with Jane about anything. I just made the decisions freely as I thought they would come. And if she agreed or didn't agree, I could care less. So when I started understanding that I did need Jane to help me walk this married life, and I needed Jane input in my life, it was a challenge for me. I had to learn to respect her yes, respect her no's, understand why I needed to. And I think it became a challenge for me to learn to listen to Jane.
So this was a brand new dance for you guys.
Absolutely. It sure was. But
I mean, this wasn't like a minor change. This was a major change.
Major, major change for sure. I mean, of course, obviously the Lord had to do a lot of healing in our minds and who we were in Christ to begin with, to be able to learn what is this going to look like, you know, and be able to bring together both of our perspective and be able to respect each other as we're growing in this different new dance.
Because of what I mentioned on the last session that we had about my molestation, I didn't believe I was man enough. I think part of me taking charge and not consulting when Jane was just that, trying to prove that I was man enough.
Mm.
I wouldn't let anybody tell me what to do, especially a woman. I thought, how could that be true? I'm a man. So I had to do that. So when I started understanding that my manhood comes from God and not of the things that were done to me, I started realizing that it was okay. I no longer need to be this brute of a guy, but I'm able to start seeing things from God's perspective. You read the Bible talks about loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and he talks about dying to self. And I think part of understanding that I needed Jane in my life was part of that process of dying to self, that I needed this woman that God so graciously had put in my life and that I needed her input in my life.
In this new dance that you're in, how did transparency filter into that? Because that's got to be a big change for you too.
Yes, we were not used to being transparent like that. But once you taste Christ and you don't have to hide anymore, it's actually workable. It's actually easier to, you know, walk a life of transparency, walk a life of honesty with each other, because we know we're already safe with him, with Christ. And so
did you ever feel transparent, that you had a transparent relationship with Ray in the past or not?
No. The first 15 years of marriage, we had to hide from each other because we didn't feel loved by God. And so if you really knew who I was, you were going to reject me. We have to have a curated life because we didn't know that we were loved already.
And when Ray started disclosing mm-hmm. all this stuff, did you ever get to a place that you said, wow, I've heard enough. I just, mm-hmm. or did you say, no, I need to know everything?
Oh, I wanted to know. I wanted to know how he operated, why he thought the way that he did, you know, what were all the different components that made him do the things that he did. Were these things hard to hear? Yes, absolutely. But you know what? Truth is very liberating. It just changes the way that you perceive one another because you are operating out of truth instead of covering up and looking a certain way. When you're trying to have that curated life, you don't know what to expect. But you know, truth actually makes you feel safe.
So Ray, what about from your standpoint? Did you see transparency as something good for you, something that was scary, or how were you working through that?
I definitely saw it as something scary, but I had to learn to walk through that fear. You know, the passage in the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil. That's what transparency and vulnerability felt like to me.
Hmm.
Because I had never lived there. I did not know what that was going to look like. But as we started this journey of recovery, I started understanding that I needed to be transparent. They became guardrails in my life. One of the things that I remember that I felt from God and that I felt that I needed to do is, like, the more people I tell, the more eyes would be there to watch me and the more guardrails I would have in my life. I thought that if people are able to see what I'm doing, they'll be able to call me out on my things and say, hey, Ray, you're going the wrong way. So yes, it was scary, but it was very beneficial. As Jane and I committed to being transparent to one another, because for years, there was always a sense of disconnect. As much as we had what I thought was a good relationship, as much as we had thought on marriage, as much as we had thought on spiritual things, there was always a disconnect between Jane and I. I never felt connected with her. She never felt connected with me. So when we started this journey of transparency, of thinking, bringing things into the light, 1 John talks about if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We started understanding what that fellowship looked like.
See, you don't have to try to conjure up fellowship. It's just the natural result of walking in the light.
Mm.
If you're willing, if he's willing and I'm willing to be truthful, to be honest, and to be transparent with each other, the natural result is fellowship. And so I got to know his heart and he got to know my heart. And how freeing it is to know that I don't have to go hide and come up with my own little leaves, you know, to try to cover myself up and try to protect myself, because shame is no longer the currency.
And so was this just true between you, or what about do you tell other people? I mean, Ray, did you?
I remember as we got involved with WIT Ministries and as we started sharing our story and we started talking to different people, I remember I came back to Jane and I said, hey, Jane, when people ask me a question, what should I say?
And I said, the truth.
And to me, that was a very profound concept. What do you mean the truth? Automatically, I started asking myself, which part of the truth? Because remember, for years, first 15 years of our marriage, I had to spin every story. I never had the truth as the first story. There was always a different version of the truth. So when Jane says you have to just tell the truth, I had to learn what that looked like. You know, I had to go back and say, okay, this is true, then that's what I will say. So it was a very new thing for me. But I think as I started walking in that truth, walking in the reality of the things that happened, we started seeing freedom in our life.
And so you started out with battle partners. You're saying we had to have some transparency. That started developing. Did you also see that it was now rebuilding an emotional connection? And what were some of the steps you took to do that?
Back then, our kids were younger. So again, came clean 19 years ago. So our kids were a lot younger. So what we started implementing to be able to connect on a daily basis, we started implementing what we call at that time, mommy, daddy time, which was the first 15 minutes, 10 minutes of me walking into the house after work. Jane and I sat in the living room and went over a day. Kind of like, what was your highlight of the day? What was your low point of the day? Did you have any temptations? Did you have any fears? Did you have any struggles, any fights with the enemy? What did your day look like? And then also, what do you do at work? You know, just kind of like bring her into my world. And she also would share with me what her day looked like, what her world looked like. And that allowed us to have that closeness that we never had.
Like Ray just said, yeah, that's exactly what, you know, our everyday became. I mean, we decided this is going to be a new discipline for us, learning how to communicate and develop an emotional language.
And had you ever done anything like in this in the past, or were you just kind of two ships passing in the night?
We just kept missing each other. We kept passing each other. And we didn't have really an emotional connection. I mean, yes, you know, we had sex and had meals together and share a little bit of our days here and there, but there was not that intimacy into our lives. I mean, when you look at the word intimacy, you know, you see intimacy. And so we never developed that ability to look into each other's hearts and really know why we tick the way that we did.
It's amazing. So many couples never create space for that in their relationship. And you guys intentionally did that as you came out of that.
Yeah, again, because of the disconnect that we had for years, we started understanding that we needed that connect.
Mm.
So we set out to connect on a daily basis.
Mm. So it was amazing watching this man that was hard and, you know, and he will tell me, welders don't cry. And men that work in construction, they don't cry and they don't do this mushy stuff and all of that. But his willingness to just unfold his day before me and truly be physically, emotionally, and spiritually naked before me. I mean, one of the other things that we started to implement was having times of prayer together, and for him to be able to call me and say, hey, Jane, I'm being tempted right now. Would you be willing to pray for me? I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to sin against God. Can you please pray for me? And so we will do that. We built that place where we both felt safe, that we were moving forward in a healthy way.
Hmm. So whenever you said on the first phone call from Ray, you said, and I forgive you, you still had to walk out forgiveness, didn't you?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Getting that glimpse of the Lord and knowing that he had forgiven me, that the standard wasn't Ray's sin and my sin and kind of like measuring each other based on ourselves, But starting with the fact that God had forgiven me, and that was the real standard for forgiveness to play out in our relationship, that kind of like liberated me to be able to release him from paying me back what was taken from me. Because I started to see that the reality is that those that hurt us, those that wound us, they can't pay us back. They can't pay us back. Can they give us back the peace? Can they give us back the time that was taken? You know, all these things that we think we have lost, those are God things. Only God can give us back and restore the things that were broken and damaged and lost.
Hmm.
And so I started to see that if I choose to release him, I will know more and more how I've been released, you know, from my own sin, and how God, you know, it gives us back all those things that were lost in the process.
Hmm. And Ray, so you had heard those words of, I forgive you, but you now have a new pattern of life. I mean, did you have confidence that the forgiveness she started with would continue to be available?
Well, I had never understood forgiveness. Again, I felt ashamed and guilt for the things that had happened in my life. I knew the Bible says God has forgiven us and the blood of Christ cleanses away all of our sins, but I never lived in that reality. I always lived in the lie that forgiveness was something for those that were better than me, something for those that were not doing the things that I was doing. And once Jane said those words to me, I still didn't quite understand. So I had to learn to walk in that reality, because I continued to live in what I thought was my reality for many years. I had to approach it with caution because I didn't quite understand how can someone who has heard what they just heard truly get to a place that were able to forgive me. Because again, I felt like a monster. I felt so bad about myself. I said, this is not possible. So it was very hard for me to understand that. And I think it wasn't until I saw Jane forgiveness played out in our relationship. And when I started understanding what the Bible says about forgiveness and the love of Christ, Hebrews 4 says, enter boldly before the throne of grace. I was like, wow, God, even though he knows who I am, even though he knows what I've done, he still calls me. One of the versions, I think ESV says, enter confidently. He invites us to enter, but he invites us to enter with the confidence, not in the confidence of what I've done or haven't done, but in the confidence of what was done at the cross for me. So forgiveness was one of the things that I had to embrace, that I had to grab onto. And in spite of everything that my mind and my heart was believing, it's kind of like I had to say, okay, God, I believe you, but help my unbelief.
And so, Jane, did you find yourself at some point, you know, you're hearing the words come out of your mouth, I forgive you, but inside there's a struggle to sense it and feel it and feel the release? Or did you say it first, feel it next, feel it all the same? Or how did that work out for you?
Well, I had to choose forgiveness every single day. So before I even put a foot on the ground, as I woke up, I will say those words to myself. I chose forgiveness. And so that helped me to continue to move forward in that direction and how that was going to play out in our relationship instead of allowing the thoughts come.
Did you feel like it was a gradual thing for you, or was there some significant either feeling or thought or revelation that got you to the next level in it?
Well, one of the things that after I had that conversation with Dolores, I had the pillow in my face. One of the things that the Lord kept telling me, do you trust me? Because when you choose to release those that have wounded you into God's hands, he's basically inviting you into his justice. So was I going to trust that the disciplines that needed to be in my marriage were going to come? Because God is a God of justice. He's still on the throne, and his sovereignty is not going to be denied. So forgiveness is that invitation to trust that he is going to do what is right because he's right, because he's always been a God of righteousness. So I had to choose forgiveness every day, you know, beyond my feelings, beyond what I thought needed to be play out in our relationship. Forgiveness gave me the opportunity to see things from God's perspective, not my own. And so that gave me the confidence that the things that were going to happen in our lives and the different steps that needed to for us to learn and grow, we're going to be able to play out because we allow forgiveness to kind of like be our settled ground One of the things that we, while we were having conversations, we needed to develop some kind of ground rules. How are we going to approach this? So one of the things that we agreed on, because remember, I'm learning how to have a voice in our relationship. So we said to each other, your forgiveness is going to be there even before you ask. So if we're going to hurt each other in the process, we already had that as foundational, that we were going to operate from the perspective of forgiveness instead of allowing resentment or allowing bitterness to be the one that kind of guided our conversations and how we were going to relate to one another. So forgiveness became that ground, the settled ground that allowed us to relate to one another. And that allowed me to be able to kind of like digest and figure out the emotions that were coming my way, because I'm human. And I'm going to experience all kinds of emotions and all of that. But even being able to name what they were, because up to that point, since I didn't believe I had a voice or what I had to say mattered, emotionally, I hadn't grown. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really be able to express myself in a way that was clear what was going on inside my heart. I myself did not know. Because forgiveness was foundational for us. It gave us an opportunity to grow emotionally with each other.
That's beautiful. And it really parallels and reflects what's available for us, right? We're never begging for the forgiveness. It's always available. Amen. As we come. Amen. Amen. So you've processed your forgiveness. You're walking in that every day. But certainly you had to start thinking about boundaries, right? Because you don't want the fears to come back up. How did you deal with that around boundaries and fears and triggers and stuff like that?
I think one of the things that I started understanding about boundaries is that there were things that I needed, again, for years, since Jane didn't have a voice. I did as I wanted to do, and I ran my life freely without her input. But I needed to understand, in order for her to see that I was moving forward, for her to be able to have something tangible that she saw, that I wanted restoration in our marriage, I think when we started understanding this thing about boundaries, I was like, okay, I started accepting them. I started doing self-imposing boundaries, and I started doing things because it gave Jane, I think she was able to map out growth in our lives. We were able to have set points where we could measure progress, because for years, I didn't have any boundaries. I did as I wanted, like I said. So it was very hard for her to say, oh, wow, Ray is moving towards the right direction. It was very hard for me to see that I was moving in the right direction. And I think that's one thing that boundaries started doing in our lives.
And of course, it wasn't just Ray's boundaries. They were our boundaries, you know. So the boundaries that I shared with him that I was hoping he would embrace were the same boundaries that I was self-imposing. Because if we don't respect our own boundaries, I can't ask anybody else to go and respect my boundaries. We talked about a set of boundaries that will help us see that we're moving forward and build a discipline that should have been there from the get-go. One of the things about boundaries is that they let you see how free you could be. I mean, in the United States, we have our boundaries, right? And they allow us to live as citizens of this nation. So our boundaries help us to do the same thing. They help us to be able to thrive the way that we need to and be able to mature and grow emotionally, spiritually, physically in our oneness.
So, Jane, I know from your testimony that you were also building new spiritual connections during this time, some things that you guys just really never experienced before. What did that look like? What did you see God showing you?
Those 15 years of marriage, you know, Ray was preaching every other Sunday, and he was doing all kinds of classes and things like that. But we didn't have that at home. So we started to rebuild the spiritual connection. And so we started reading the word together, praying together, worshiping the Lord at home. We kind of had reserved, you know, praising the Lord together only for the Sunday experience, but we didn't really have that at home. So we started to implement that and learning what does spiritual life together, what does that look like? So, you know, Sunday became even easier for us because we've learned how to practice that, how to live that out, how to, you know, pray instantly. You know, we will go to the supermarket and we're holding hands and praying together for some need, or you know, somebody called us, they have an emergency, and there we are praying together. So we didn't have that spiritual connection those first 15 years of our marriage. And so that's one of the first things that we started to develop, having an actual spiritual life together.
And one of the things that we started doing to rebuild that connection was reading books. We sought out wisdom. The Bible talks that in the council, and that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety and there's wisdom. So we said, okay, we don't know it all. I understood that I had, once we got rid of the trauma of our relationship, if we were to go back to where we were, it would have been just a matter of time to end up where we were again. So we said, no, we got to learn a new dance. We got to learn something new. So we sought out to learn about communication. We set out to learn about healing, about boundaries, and about all these things that we started implementing. So I think reading books together, apart from the Bible, again, since we were Christians, we used to read the Bible. We knew our Bible, but we never really went and tried to grow. To me, the Bible just became a tool because, again, I was an assistant pastor. So it's just another tool that I needed to know how to use. It wasn't about a relationship, about growing or maturing.
It's amazing, right? That God has given us a book so that we can learn to obey Him, to relate to Him, to know Him, but it's also to know each other. I mean, when you read the book of 1 John, and it talks about that we are to love God, but what does the book say? It's, how can you say that you love God when you don't love others? And so we didn't know how to love each other. So we started to look at the Bible very differently, learning, okay, how can we love each other in a practical way? And so these other books that Ray is mentioning, we started to pick up relational books, right? And learn how to be practical. What is your love language? And what, you know, how can I love you in a way that it actually resonates with you?
Well, I never understood how the woundedness of the past was playing out in my present. So I saw the evidence, you know, because of what I had gotten to after 15 years of marriage. So we went on a journey to figure out, why is it that these things still bother? So we started reading books about my woundedness and why is it that they affect me the way they did. And when we were able to go to God and receive healing and resolve them, you know, in the presence of God, it made a big difference, because now we're able to operate not out of woundedness, but we're able to operate out of the grace of God, out of, you know, desiring a relationship, desiring to continue in that oneness.
As you're rebuilding this spiritual connection, I know we talked about it was showing up in your emotions. Did you also see that it was showing up in your sexuality? And how did you rebuild this after coming through something that many people would look at and say, boy, I don't know that they make it through that?
Yeah.
One of the things that we understood back then, I started realizing, is that I had what some authors call athletic sex. Sex was just about performance. Sex was just about doing something physical. It was never about connecting spiritually or emotionally. To me, it was just a physical thing that I did, and I needed to be good at it. I needed to perform. I remember looking in the mirror thinking that I was this wonderful lover. You know, I was the stud of a man, but, you know, never was able to connect with Jane. And the fact and the reality that God created sex to be something that both men and women enjoy never crossed my mind. To me, it was about me. I felt good. I got what I needed, and that was about it. Never thought about, you know, how Jane felt, what she needed, how it was satisfying her or not. And after coming clean and removing all the things that we needed to remove, I started understanding that it was about connecting. It was about, you know, how can I serve Jane? The Bible talks about rendering due benevolence in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I started understanding that rendering benevolence to my wife was that I had to learn to give something good to her. And part of that good was connecting with her spiritually, connecting with her emotionally, being able to speak into her life, being able to look into her eyes and tell her that I loved her, tell her that I was there for her, you know, especially during the time when we were being sexually intimate. So that helped us to start rebuilding that sexual intimacy that for years it was just about performance.
For me, I mean, watching the transformation in Ray's life, he was a taker. He was a taker for the first 15 years of our marriage. And in my mind, sex was about duty. You know, I had to perform my part and, you know, we needed to have children because that's what you do when you're married. And so dutifulness became my go-to. So I needed to go to the Lord and know what does my sexuality supposed to look like. And, you know, the woundedness from my past, you know, I experienced sexual abuse growing up. And so that said different things about me and my body. And when I would look in the mirror, I did not see what Ray saw. I did not see the stud. No, I was like, this is damaged. This is not good. And so that's all I saw. So that's what I brought to our sexual union. So as we are learning, what is this going to look like? What, you know, how are we supposed to connect sexually? I learned that, you know, my body is also the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that our sexual connection is part of our spiritual worship to the Lord. And so I had to ask the Lord, can you teach me how do I do, you know, the turnaround? How do I walk a life of repentance when it comes to our sexual union? And so seeing a man that was willing to be very patient with me, that wanted to learn how I ticked, how my body was going to respond, and his gentleness and his kindness and his willingness to see me, to actually see me, and not, I was no longer just another tool, you know, for his release and whatever he was trying to accomplish at the time. And he actually saw me. It kind of helped me to put my guard down and be able to hear God and allow him to show me that our sexual union is for the both of us. The Bible says that in the book of Psalms that at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So I'm like, Lord, then teach us. What does that look like? And so one of the things we started to do was asking the Lord to come in and be the one that dictated and guided us our sexual union. So we started to pray together and ask God to bless our union. As we are, you know, as we're together, Ray will just speak words of encouragement. He was very kind and compassionate towards me. So that really helped me to get to the other side and be able to own my sexual experience and be able to, what am I also bringing to the table? Because I mean, the passage talks about rendering due benevolence.
To one another.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, just as he was responsible on his end, I was responsible on my end to also be a giver and not be just dutiful. Because that's stealing. That's stealing from our oneness and being able to bring glory to the Lord as we are coming together. Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of what Jane said, a very interesting line, she goes that she was seen. I remember the first time we started having sex after coming clean, after having the disclosure. And I remember being in bed with my wife and the whole thing about being seen, because for years I hid because of the monster that I felt that I was. I hid because I never felt forgiven and I always felt guilty about what had happened. So I remember the first time when we were being intimate with Jane. She knew everything that I had done. She knew everything that I had been up to. And as we're there, I remember that verse in the Bible that said that if you repay goodness when you receive evil, it talks about heaps of coals will be upon them. And I remember just seeing this visual, feeling these heaps of coals falling upon my head. And I remember crying, and it was a vulnerability that I had never experienced with Jane again, because she sees me. Before, I didn't want to be seen. And as I was there with Jane and she saw me, it just blew my mind to think that this woman knows who I am, sees who I am, and has chosen to love me and to render something good to me. It was a gift that I had never experienced before. You know, and I think part of rebuilding our sexual intimacy was that vulnerability, that we're able to come to each other's arms and just let it all hang out. You know who I am. You know what I've done. I know who you are. I know what you've done. And you know what? we still chose to love one another. Mm.
So Jane, as he's sharing that, I can see the tears.
All I could think of again, just being overwhelmed by the love of God. So what do you do with that? You give it out. You give it away because it's just so overwhelming to know that you are loved. Mm-hmm. So because I'm full of his love, I can't love my husband. I can enter into his life. I can't be an instrument of healing in his life, you know? The Bible tells us that when we lay down our lives, we find new life, right? He's the giver of life. So as we're being intimate with each other, all I could do is hold them. Just hold them and let them cry. Just let them cry and remind them, you are loved, Ray. You are loved. You are forgiven. You have a place at the table. You know, the Lord has met us and he loves us. He loves us. That, you know, that broken body, that's for you and I. So let's run together. If you're willing to run with me, I'm willing to run with you. And so it was one of the most amazing times that we have had sexually.
In 15 years of performing, of like having athletic sex, I think that was the most intimate moment we've ever had. That was the most vulnerable, most loving moment we've ever had, you know. And I think that allowed us to enter into this new sexuality, this new way of loving one another, because, you know, it was just God's grace, just God being with us.
You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being the dynamite. It's the dunamos of God, the dynamite of God. And it finally dawned on us that one of the reasons why the enemy wants to destroy our sexual intimacy is because that is the place where we know him as dunamos. Hmm. That is the place where we know him as dynamite, which we need for our everyday life. So if I'm being dutiful and he's being a taker, guess what? We don't know that, because God's kind of love is a giving kind of love. It's when we render due benevolence, when all my passion, all my love, it's for you. All my forgiveness is all for you. I see you, I know you, and I still choose you. And so that's when we know the dunamos of God, the dynamite of God that we need for our everyday life. I mean, life can be tough, right? And so we need that. We need that part of his grace to endure and to be able to deal with different issues of our life. And as a couple, we get to know him that way, as being the dynamite that keeps us going and do amazing things through his power.
After we finished recording that interview, Ray told me that it was still very emotional for him to hear how he was completely seen by Jane and still fully loved. And I could see the emotion still all over his face from that.
Here it is 19 years later, and it's still fresh. And that's because this wasn't just a one-time event in their life. It is a touch of God that has been ongoing for 19 years.
And I think that's the things we want to remember in our marriages, right? The places where God touched us.
We still do, 7 years later for us, and it's beautiful. We don't want to forget it.
And that's how we really know there's been healing. I think when you can go back and talk about an event that's been full of pain, but the deliverance overshadows the pain, I think that's when you know that you've had some healing out of that.
Well, what stood out to you in this interview?
When Jane said, forgiveness is going to be there for you even before you ask, I think she called it settled ground. I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe it like that. That is something that I think we want to maintain the right to determine whether or not forgiveness is deserved. We want to still be the right, have the right to be the judge. Did they pay me back enough? Did they show enough repentance? Has there been a long enough period? And when she just put that on the table and said, it's settled ground, it's always going to be there for you, I thought, wow, have we even walked through that? I mean, is that a step we've taken in our own marriage to describe it like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was a beautiful way to describe it, because Jane gave up her right. She died to it. And she said, forgiveness will always be here, even when we hurt each other along the way of recovery. And I will say that has happened to us. We have hit many stumbling blocks. after recovery, but forgiveness should always be there.
Yeah.
She described it beautifully.
What stood out to you?
I want to go back to battle partners. There are fruits that are displayed in their marriage, right? And in our lives, when we're battle partners, like Ray and Jane talked about, many of these fruits are displayed.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of oneness with one, knowing one another spiritually and emotionally, denying ourselves, especially the one of respecting one another, hearing her voice.
Oh, that was powerful. Yeah.
These are all fruits that are demonstrated, manifested in a marriage when you're battle partners, because you really are looking out for each other.
And I think for us, Priscilla, it pivoted for us at some point early in this that instead of seeing you as my enemy, we came together and said, no, we have a common enemy.
Right. I remember us doing that, looking at each other and saying, you're not my enemy, Phil.
And we still have to remember that.
We do. Yeah, because we're always hitting a speed bump somewhere.
And we have to remember that even in the middle of that distress, you're not my enemy, right?
That's right.
And we're coming together on that.
One other thing I want to hit on that they mentioned is sexuality. It is never neutral in a marriage. It is always in front of us,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think it's beautiful that they saw that they had something there that they needed to look at together.
Yeah. And they described this connection of the spiritual, the emotional, and the sexuality.
Right.
Which for us was one of the big issues, never connected.
Yes.
I think Ray described athletic sex.
Yeah, I think that's a really good description.
Yeah. Well, if you want to hear more from Ray and Jane, we would encourage you to register for some of the intensives put on by Whatever It Takes Ministries. Ray and Jane help lead the couples intensives there, and Jane leads many of the 4 Days to Hope intensives for women, and Ray's also involved at many of the 4 Days to Freedom intensives for men. And you can register for all these intensives at WITministries.com. And their website's also in the show notes.
We hope you've been helped by Ray and Jane's story. And if you've been looking for God to fix your marriage, ask Him to resurrect it instead. If you've liked what you've heard, please subscribe to our podcast and provide a rating to help others find us.
And you can also purchase our award-winning books, Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction, and our Savage Marriage Study Guide on Amazon.com.
If you have marriage issues that you would like to talk to us about, just book an appointment on SavageMarriageMinistries.com.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it's God who's at work in your savage adventure.